Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tom.
It's good to chat with you. This is our second attempt at recording today's podcast. We've been having some work done in the church, and of course the workman wanted to come in midway through our first recording, and we just totally lost the flow afterwards. But it's very
thankfully,
good. Yes.
We're still allowed to stay in the church after
I know.
Work's been done. We haven't been closed.
Yeah, we're allowed to stay in the church. We're not allowed to drink the water, but we're allowed to stay in it.
We can't drink the water. Yeah.
For those of you who are interested, we are going to work on the water. This is all of the things that I guess we never thought we would ever have to deal with. The fact that the building hasn't been used for 5 months, and things like water, it becomes stagnant, and no amount of us flushing toilets and letting water go through will sort the fact that the buildings just aren't being used as much as normal. But we're really looking forward to being able to welcome groups back from September onwards into our buildings. We had a great meeting yesterday, didn't we? Talking to people from the church about how we're going to reopen for groups. And so it's really good to look ahead to what we can do, because it feels like so much of our time has been spent saying, well, we can't do that, we can't do that, we can't do that for the last 5 months. Whereas now we're starting to say we can do that. And it was great at the weekends to be able to welcome our young people back to the garden of church for a kind of little mini get together, festival, whatever you want to call it. It was all very cute. We had lots of pizza. We watched a great talk from a young Christian called Bella Ramsey, who you may recognise if you saw her from Game of Thrones or things like The Worst Witch on CBBC. But she shared how young people can let their light shine in the world today, even when we're still in an amount of isolation. And it was really good. I had such a wonderful time. Becca, who's helping out as well, just said it was such a wonderful thing for us to be able to do. And we just had so much fun. It was great. It was really, really good.
And you had pizza, I guess?
Oh, of course. We can't cook any food for any people at the moment. So so we had to get a local pizzeria to come and deliver. And of course, we couldn't really share the pizzas, so everyone had to have their own.
You had to have a whole one each.
A whole small one each.
Ah, okay.
But yeah, I mean, I only managed the one pizza myself, and no amount of Becca's leftovers wasn't going to work.
So is your favourite pizza, Tom?
Wow. To be honest, when we went to Italy late last year, I had some of the best pizzas I've ever had in my life. And I think what I can say is a margherita pizza from Italy beats any pizza from anywhere else. We were staying in Naples, actually, it is, and this tiny little restaurant around the corner from where we were staying served a pizza called the Vesuvia. Mm. Which is obviously, we went up Vesuvius as part of our time there. And I ordered it because it sounded great fun. What I didn't realise was that the Vesuvia was two pizzas stuck together, so it was just two bases with all the toppings in the middle, with a hole cut in the middle, and then they put sauce all around it, so it looked like the sauce was dribbling
eruption.
Down.
How
the side.
Amazing.
And it was incredible. What I will say is we landed into Naples about 7 o'clock in the evening, and our journey from Naples airport to where we were staying was not the shortest journey, let's say. And so it was what, 9:30 at night, I think, when we got to the hotel, we dropped our stuff off and we'd gone back out to this pizza restaurant. And I was not ready to have two pizzas worth of food.
So was there any other eruption after that then, during the night?
Sorry, what?
I mean...
No,
gurgling?
No, because it was absolutely delicious pizza.
Fantastic.
Me and Becca have already said if we went back to Naples, we'd have no question whatsoever to go back to this little pizza place. It was just too much food. It was just the fact that I effectively ordered two pizzas without realising it. And of course, their pizzas cost so little, you know. A margherita pizza, a proper size margherita pizza, is €4. What? Given the exchange rate's poor at the moment, that's probably about £10, isn't it? It's just such a simple thing. What's your favourite pizza topping, Tim? And then you've answered this, we're going to break into what we actually
I asked the question and I don't know what the answer is, really. I like vegetable pizzas, just to be completely on the opposite side of that.
Well, that's
Mediterranean
what
vegetable pizza, lovely.
Well, that's what I had to have at the weekend.
Basil, bit of homegrown basil on it. Ooh. And actually, we had some spare Taleggio cheese in our fridge.
Taleggio.
Taleggio cheese, and I put it on top of the pizza we had on Saturday, and boy, that was fantastic. Mm. So, yeah, Taleggio cheese, not the cheapest of cheeses, but has a fantastic flavour and great on pizzas.
I had to have a vegetable pizza on Saturday, Tim, and good. I'm not going to say I was disappointed.
No.
But we obviously, the offer where we ordered from, there was a choice of five different pizzas, and they were all the same price. And we asked the youth to pre-order their pizza. If you pre-ordered, you guaranteed you'd get the one you wanted. So anyone that said what they wanted got what they ordered. However, of course, some people didn't say what they were getting, and we just got a selection of pizzas. With me thinking that at least one person who either was vegetarian or just liked vegetables would have the vegetable pizza. We ordered one vegetable pizza in the entirety of the thing, and of course, that was the only one that was left after everyone else chose exactly what they wanted. And I like vegetable pizzas, but I'll just put it out there that I prefer ham and pineapple or meat feast or that kind of thing. I'm still a bit of a carnivore at heart.
Tom,
so
I'm not disappointed, but
I was going to say it is a sacrifice at servanthood, and look, it tasted delicious anyway. So can't
a youth worker who lays down his pizza for the sake of his youth group. That's beautiful.
Excellent. Excellent. Right. Enough of that. I don't know how long we've spent talking about pizza and things, but it was, well, to sum it all up, we had an amazing time, and it was
great.
Just so good. It was so good to connect back with the young people who, whilst we've been chatting with them on Zoom week after week, let's be honest, it is not the same. We did what we could, but however, now we were able to meet up in the garden of church. And yes, it rained. It absolutely poured, actually. But we made it work because it's more important to do that. The young people deserve to be commended. They were absolutely excellent on an evening when there could have been a flouting of rules. They were all fantastic. They were all incredibly accommodating of one another. And you know, there is not one single argument between brothers and sisters either. So God is working in them clearly as we go through go through this period of time. Right. Enough of that. Last Sunday, it was really great to hear Pauline share with us from Acts chapter 8. What an amazing sermon that was, eh? I loved it. And Becca said that she loved it. And I did say to her that maybe she needs to be more affirming of my talks. But that's not really the point. But it was great to hear from Pauline about this topic of change. And what an amazing passage as well to preach from, Acts chapter 8. And we're not going to spend much time at all today looking at this because, to be honest, we'd much rather say go away and listen to Pauline's talk. If you want to listen to a cut down version of it, you can head to our website and listen to the podcast. It's about 13-14 minutes long, and it really is just an amazing little exposition of Acts chapter 8. But me and Tim, when we were talking before this about what we were wanting to share with you today, both kind of narrowed in on this one verse, Acts chapter 8 verse 4. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And wherever they went, it goes on to say that it was to do with Samaria and Judea, and it was going through the land, and it's an uncommon place. And it's just what an amazing verse that is to speak into our current situation, eh?
Yeah, because one of the words we have used quite a lot over this time is scattered. You know, we've not been the church that has gathered because of the building lockdown and restrictions, but in our scattered state, I know that so many people have been preaching the word, whether it's been directly sharing the good news of Jesus and the reason for the hope they have, or whether it's passing on a link to join in with any of our Sunday content, pointing people towards that, whether it's doing acts of kindness for neighbours or family members, praying. You know, there's been so much going on as we've been scattered. And it reminds me a little bit, of course, of the parable of the sower, of course, where, you know, the farmer scatters the seed, and Jesus used that as a way in to say, you know what, we just need to throw out the word of God, and some some of it won't bear any fruit, but actually some of it will, you know, the bit that lands on good soil. And our task is to scatter it. So God was doing a big scattering here, of pushing out all the followers of Jesus out of Jerusalem. And you remember, of course, that that was the commission to go into all the world and to preach the word, Judea, Samaria, and beyond there. And I can imagine the first followers of Jesus were a little reluctant to do that because Jerusalem was quite a great place to be.
This was countercultural for them. We need to understand that this scattering was very uncomfortable for them because, of course, from thinking back to even just a story that's well known, the Good Samaritan, we know that Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. They did not talk to one another. It was very, very divided. It's almost like Stoke fans and Port Vale fans, okay? They did not see eye to eye on things. And what was asked here was go into these areas, spread the message, and, you know, this is a time to try and join people up by one common thing, one common faith, and that is Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus gave them the example, didn't he? Jesus spoke to the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, to kind of begin to show to them, look, you're going to have to do this one way or the other. You're going to have to start going out into the world. This whole thing of Jesus' followers being witnesses, both in the areas that they know, Jerusalem, and in all of the other places, including places where they weren't sure, in even to the remotest parts of the earth, I think that's something for us, which at the moment, you know, as you said, this thing of just sharing things with one another at this time is almost easier than it has ever been, I think, to preach to people and to share things with people, because we're not going to face the same level of persecution that we otherwise might.
Yeah, and it's pushed us, hasn't it, to do things that perhaps we wouldn't normally have done. It's pushed us to make that phone call. It's pushed us to go and knock on our neighbour's door, perhaps. I know for some people they've always been in good contact with their neighbours, etc., but not for all of us. And you know, it's given us an opportunity just to be available, hasn't it? And of course, this scattering came about because, you know, there was persecution in verse 3 of chapter 8, but Paul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison, and then those who had been scattered, you know. So it's like God was shaking the church up at that particular time. And he took them out of that place of reluctance to do anything, and like it was like the Holy Spirit kicked them up their backside, really, didn't it? I know that's a bit of Greek that not many of us understand, but you know, he did it, and he used this time for his purposes, so that people would go out and do things that perhaps were a bit scary, the vulnerability, things they'd never done before. But God gave this opportunity, and I do see. Yeah, we haven't been persecuted, but we have been challenged by this, by the virus, by something that came in that we weren't expecting or used to. But actually, you know, God is going to use this and ongoing for his purposes as well. So, you know, let's just continue. You know, let's continue to be prompted by the Spirit and to take those opportunities that he's going to give to us.
And on the topic of being prompted by the Spirit, we've recorded a little interview with one of the friends of the church, Tamsin Jackson, and we wanted to play it to you now. She's looking to head away on a medical mission in a couple of months' time, and we thought that it'd be great to share that with you this morning. Well, it's great to be joined by my friend and someone I've known since we were, 12 years old. Tamsin Jackson, welcome along to today's MBC Connect podcast.
Thank you.
It's really good to connect with you, and we wanted to ask you a couple of questions, if that's okay.
Yes.
So obviously you work in the healthcare industry, you're right on the front line. So can you tell us a bit about what that's been like for the past, I guess it'd be 6 months since all of this world got turned upside down?
Yeah, so we started having patients coming through with COVID in February. At that point, we didn't think it was going to get as big as it did. It was me going in to the patients on my own, kitted up, and everyone else was like, oh, we won't have to deal with this. And then 3 weeks later, everyone joined in.
Yeah.
So I wasn't alone anymore.
No, goodness.
It's been very difficult. Really, really hard. We've had to do extra hours, extra training with all the staff. Patients have been coming in very, very poorly. So we've had to spend a lot of time with them, trying to make them better, get them in the right place, and just support the families from afar on like the iPads and from phone calls, because they haven't been able to come into the patient. So it has been really, really hard. And I think I've cried about 100 times. Yeah. But we have been one big team, and it has been, we've all supported each other. It's been lovely.
And a very different way of working by the sound of it as well.
Yeah, completely different, completely different.
And this whole thing of doing things remotely, I guess it makes it very challenging. I was speaking to a GP friend on Friday who was saying just how difficult it is to do things over video call when you've been so used to seeing people in person and seeing family and friends in person. And that whole thing of sharing both good and bad news is obviously amplified when you're having to do it through a video device.
It's really, really difficult. I think what was touching is, though, that we'd always speak to the family and say, we're holding their hand now. They can hear everything you're saying. And we became part of that family with them, which was lovely.
It must have pushed you to the limits at times, Tamsin, I'm sure. But I guess you found new resources to manage for yourself, new ways of coping.
Yes, so we've been having like a team meeting every day, and we have a good chat and a little gossip before work, just say all the positive things that are happening. My family and my friends have been texting me saying they've been praying for me, which has been brilliant and really supportive. We've just stuck together.
Great, well done.
Now, it's really good to be able to talk about what you have been doing. And actually, I want to go back to something a few years ago. I know you went on mission a number of years back, and it was a while ago, so I'm not sure how much you can remember, but what do you remember about that? How was that experience for you?
So in 2010, I think it was, I went to South Africa in a little place called Velcom and worked within a daycare centre with children with HIV and AIDS, and worked within the townships and the rubbish dump, and the experience was absolutely amazing. Oh, I loved it. We went and we nursed there, we gave them medications, we made sure the children had enough to eat and deliver food parcels to the community, and then just share the love through like play, learning, giving them life skills. And then we revamped their units. So we painted, we decorated, we built things for them. It was incredible.
It sounds absolutely amazing. And the real reason for getting you on here is because you told us a couple of weeks ago that you're planning to go and do this again. So what can you tell us about what you're wanting to do? I know you're wanting to go to a different country this time, but why don't you tell us where it is?
So in February, hopefully it will be on the 21st, as long as all flights are flying. Yeah. we're going to Ghana. Now, I can't say the name of the place, Takadori, I think it's called. It's a little village.
It sounds good. It sounds right.
No one's going to disagree with you, Tamsin, for now.
It's a nice little town and village where they've got a community hospital, which I'll be working within their A&E department and outpatient, delivering care, teaching them new skills and how their department can run better. I'm going to be living with the village, which is another 6 hours away, in more of a slum, they call it, living with them and doing independent clinics. Okay. So that'll be giving injections, doing medical assessments and supporting those with medical issues.
So I guess the question in my head then, Tamsin, and always when people want to go on mission, is why? Why do you want to go when obviously things are going to be pretty strange and tough and difficult? So what is it that's driving you to do this?
I think since I went to Africa the first time, it was just burning in my heart completely that I just needed to go back. But I always thought I need a skill to go back with that will benefit people and help them in any way that I can. So that's why I did my nursing degree. And after doing my nursing degree, I did a couple of years of getting my skills. And then from then on, I've always said, I want to go abroad. I want to help those in need. I want to make a difference to them. Things have happened in life where I haven't been able to go. So I put my foot down now and said, right, this is the year I want to go, actually do it. And the department finally let me have time off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is great.
That's good.
Yeah, so I've always had a passion just to help people. And I've always, every morning, I always wake up thinking, I want to go. I want to go abroad and help.
Well, brilliant. Well, well done for doing something about it, because that's often the hardest thing, isn't it, is to have this passion burning in you, but actually then it's to say, right, I'm going to go, I'm going to do it, and to overcome maybe some of those final barriers in our own minds as well at that particular time.
So before we say au revoir, we want to know how best we can support you, and how can we do that?
So the best way to support me is pray that it'll all go to plan, that all the fundraising will go well, all the setting up of the placements, that I'll be in a safe area, and that I can deliver the care that I can when I'm out there in Ghana. Also, if anyone's got any fundraising ideas, obviously COVID came at the very wrong time, so I haven't been able to do social things, coffee mornings, so it has been very difficult, and I'm doing as much overtime as I can, but obviously there's only a certain amount of hours I can work within a week. So any fundraising ideas, I have got a fundraising page, so if anyone would like to donate, then that would be brilliant. I'd be so, so grateful.
Please tell us about that.
So I've set up a Just Giving page. It has got my story on there of why I want to go to Ghana. And I have sent to friends and family so far, and they have been donating very kindly to me. And all the money will go towards the trip.
And so if you're listening to us and you wanted to find that page directly, you can head to www.justgiving.com/crowdfunding/Tamsin Jackson. We'll also be sending out that link to everyone on email, and hopefully, even if it's just a very small amount, I'm sure that lots of little amounts go a very long way. And it just sounds incredible. It sounds like the sort of thing that I would love to be able to do, but I do not have the nursing ability whatsoever to be able to go and change lives like you can, Tamsin. And it's an amazing thing to be able to do. I think I look back at this and I realise... I had been hoping to go to South Africa earlier in the year, and I still hope to be able to do that in the future. And I'm kind of a little bit jealous of you right now, being able to go to Ghana, to go to Takoradi and serve people there. It's just an incredible thing to be able to do.
I think it's just great to be obedient, really, to what God's prompting you. And I think whatever situation we're in, whatever skills we have, whatever passions we have, you know, I think you're again, Tamsin, an example of someone who just wants to make that available for God to use for his purposes. And whether you're an amazing nurse, which you are, or whether somebody can just go and cuddle a kid, sometimes just going on mission, it's enough to just go and have your own heart changed as well. My experience of mission personally is I thought I was going to go and solve everybody's problem. But it was a very humbling experience and one that changed my life, as I was on the receiving end of the love and care of the people I thought I'd gone to love and care for. So be ready for what God wants to do, and have an amazing adventure, won't you?
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Always good to chat. And hopefully, in what will it be, 6 months' time? We can try and join you direct in Ghana, or maybe we'll hold on until you're back so you can spend every single moment out there doing what you love doing. But we really look forward to hearing about your adventures in, I think it's Takoradi. I think when I've had a look, Takoradi in Ghana.
We'll find out when Tamsin comes back.
Absolutely. I'm sure you'll be able to tell us fluently what it is.
You're very brave.
How wrong we are. I am incredibly brave to try and guess it. But thanks so much for joining us, Tamsin.
Yeah. And, thank you.
Yeah, just you. Have a really good rest of the day.
And God bless you in the work you're continuing to do in the hospital as well, every single day, and your team as well. And cheering you on, and all our medics, all our care workers from the church. Just keep on doing what you're doing, and we'll see how God's going to work this out for us in the future. Thanks, Tamsin. God's blessing
you.
On you.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it was great to be able to... chat with Tamsin, and it's great to be able to support people who are going away and effectively going into the world. And on some occasions we're called to preach to people, on some occasions we're called to just serve, and it really is wonderful to be able to cheer on and support those people who feel called to go abroad. On the topic of people going abroad, we wanted to spend a bit of time at the end of today's NBC Connect podcast thinking of our link missionaries and those that we know who are abroad. NBC, there are a number of different people that we support, and there's a number of organisations that we've supported over time, and we're looking at creative ways of still continuing to support our mission partners over the next few months. Things like tier funds, how we've normally ran the big quiz each year. It seems unlikely that we'll be able to hold the big quiz in the same way we have, but we're looking at what creative methods we have to support them. But we have got a number of people who we are specifically linked to, and we wanted to pray for them in their individual places this morning.
Let me just read from Philippians chapter 1, and Paul, in writing to the church in Philippi, in verse 3 says, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So we give thanks today for those who we pause to pray for. Let's pray. Father, we pray for our link missionaries in Afghanistan. We thank you for the work that they've been able to do. We thank you for their commitment to the people and to all that you've called them to. And we pray blessing on them as they are in the UK right now. As they continue to lead the organisation from the UK, we pray for grace, for stamina, and for patience. And we pray you'll give them wisdom as they hand over some of the work they're doing to the staff in Afghanistan, that there will be a good handover, even though the virus has made much of this work very complicated. We pray too for their children. Pray as they potentially return back to school to finish their work. We pray that whilst here they may be able to find educational opportunities to fill the gap while they wait and as they adjust to being in the UK. Father, we pray blessing on them right now. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Father, we pray for Adam and Manami, based out in Japan at Misaki Evangelical Church. We ask that you'll be with them as they consider about whether it's sensible to return to only online ministry as the virus begins to take hold of their province in Japan. We pray too that you'll provide them with strength as their preaching commitments increase due to local churches having struggles health-wise. And we ask that you'll help them to be able to continue to reach out to more students, both English and Japanese. We pray that you'll help them to be able to communicate clearly in whatever language that they are speaking to people in. And we ask that you'll help them to see more people come to know Christ as their saviour. We pray too as they enter the typhoon season that you'll provide them with safety and cover when required, and we ask that you'll help the devastation levels to be kept to the lowest possible, Lord. We thank you for their ongoing commitment to work out there, and we pray that you'll be with them and keep them safe. In your name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And Father, for Liz and Sergio, Chloe and Joshua in Mozambique, we pray special blessing on them today. As the coronavirus cases continue to rise and as they continue to wait, we pray that they will continue to trust you to keep them safe and to enable them to minister your love and grace towards other people. Pray blessing on them as they continue with homeschooling, work on projects within the home for the future with meetings and studying. We pray particularly for the preschools and for the teachers as they continue to prepare worksheets for the children who are learning at home. And at this time of challenge and uncertainty, we pray for peace in the communities. We pray for children who are being left at home on their own. And we pray for peace with the terrorist attacks happening in the north of Mozambique. Lord, surround your people with your presence and with your power. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
And finally, we pray for Live Village in Durban, South Africa. And we pray for Rachel, my lovely sister, who is over there at the moment serving on the village. We pray that you'll continue to provide wisdom for the leaders as there's changes in the leadership at Live. And we pray that you'll be helping the mothers and carers of the children to be able to handle increased pressures due to supply chain issues from coronavirus. And we pray that you'll be with them all as a village as they begin to deal with the aftermath of losing a couple of the children to illness recently. We pray that you'll be with them all as they navigate the challenges that coronavirus brings to them. And we pray that you'll help them all to be able to grow stronger as one village under your name, Jesus. We pray for all of these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you ever so much for joining us today. We're delighted to be joined at the weekend by Claire, who's going to be sharing with us from the Book of Ruth. And I'm sure you've probably seen by now that we're trying to shove it down your throat that reading the whole Book of Ruth before Sunday will be an incredibly useful thing as we dive into the passages at the weekend. Tim, have you read the Book of Ruth this week, I'll say, yet?
Not yet. I'm saving it up for a time when I can read it all in one go, because it's a great story and really worth digging into. I'm so looking forward to hearing what Claire has to say.
Fantastic. Well, I have not read it all yet. I read chapter one and I am reading kind of a chapter each day. So that's the plan, and we're really looking forward to being able to hear what Claire has to say to us at the weekend. If you start reading it today, Ruth chapter 1 today, chapter 2 on Thursday, chapter 3 on Friday, and chapter 4 on Saturday, you'll be sorted for Sunday.
Well organized, Tom.
Have a wonderful week. May God bless you. And we'll see you very soon for another week of full-on activities here at NBC.
Bye-bye.
Bye.